Hello, my name is Mike Talti. I work for Microsoft in the UK, and this is one of a set of short screencasts taking a sort of tour of the networking stack in Silverlight, specifically the Silverlight 4 beta using Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. These videos will hopefully make most sense if you watch them in order. We spent a bit of time talking about HTTP, which without doubt is the most common protocol out there. I want to drop down a level and talk about socket support for a minute. Now, this isn't because socket support and socket programming in Silverlight is really common. It's just going to help me as we head towards talking about other things like Windows Communication Foundation. So, let's go ahead and introduce a new topic here of sockets. And in video 8 here, not video 88, in video 8 here, let's talk a little bit about TCP streaming sockets. So, let's drop over to Visual Studio and take a look at that. Let's spin over to VS. Okay, so we've already got a solution here in Visual Studio, and it's a bunch of projects in here. The first one I want to talk about is a WPF application. And the WPF application acts, if you like, as a server for my socket connection from Silverlight. It's important to realize that a Silverlight client is just that from a socket's perspective. Silverlight clients cannot sit and listen on sockets. They cannot accept incoming connections. They can only connect to other servers. And that kind of makes sense, really, if you think about where a Silverlight application is running in the browser. So this WPF application here acts as my server. And what it does, if we just run it up for a second, it puts up a form and with a little circle on it. And as you move the mouse around, the circle follows the mouse. That's very simple. It's also opening up a socket, and it listens on that socket for incoming coordinates. So we just serialize a point, an X and Y value. And if they come in over that socket, it will move its circle to the point that it's been sent. Similarly, if it has connected sockets, then as I move the mouse, it will send its points down that socket, down those sockets actually, to those clients to tell them where its circle currently is. That's kind of it. If we take a quick look at the code for this, let's just jump into the code here. It's a bit messy, this code, actually. I didn't really write it to show people. But fundamentally what it's doing is it's using the TCP listener class in .NET Framework. That's the full framework, of course. And it's listening on socket 4502. Now, this is not by accident. Silverlight clients can only connect to sockets in the range 4502 to 4534. And so consequently, I've picked the first thing within that range. What this does, and let's just take a quick look at it, is it effectively always has some outstanding reads on any socket that connects to it. So if a client comes along and connects, it tries to read from the client. And when a read completes, what it does is it tries to grab some bytes from the client, checks that it's got enough data to make up a whole point structure, and then reads a point structure and moves its circle to the point that was sent from the client. That's one side of its communication. The other side of its communication is that whenever the mouse moves, gets the current point, and it talks to each client that it's got and serializes that point into some bytes and writes it down the socket, which we're using via a network stream here. That's how TCP listener surfaces a socket. It writes the point down there to that particular client. So that's really what this WPF application does. Now, in the project, I've also got a website, of course, because we're doing Silverlight, and that website is hosting a Silverlight client, which is this guy over here. And the Silverlight client is very similar to the WPF client. So if I was to set this as my startup project for a minute, and let's just make sure that's set as my start page, and let's press F5, then we have a Silverlight client that is similar to the WPF client. In fact, I copied a whole bunch of code from one to the other. And let's just let that spin up. Okay, so what you get on the screen is a yellow background with an orange circle. And again, this circle follows the mouse around the screen. However, this client doesn't yet wire itself up to anything. So what I've done in this particular client is I've kind of abstracted the details of how to connect to anybody else into this little class here called communication. When the application spins up, just to show you this, when the application spins up, it creates one of these communication objects, and it expects to be notified when a point has been received from somebody else. Similarly, when you move the mouse in this application, it expects the communication object to send that point to anyone who's interested. Okay, so that's kind of how that plugs in. But the communication class here itself has not yet been written. So we have nothing firing the point received event, and we have nothing sending points. And really the point of this video, to use the word point a little bit too much, is to implement this communication class so we can talk down a socket to that WPF application that we just saw. So let's set about kind of doing that. There's no sort of initialization notion for this class that I've got here, so I just put some code in its constructor. So let's go ahead and have a constructor. And let's think about the sending side of things first. So what we're going to need is socket. So let's use a socket. We'll call it socket. No, socket. And let's call that socket. And then here we could create the socket. So we could say this.socket equals new socket. Now this is kind of standard sockets program. We need an address family. We'll go with IP. And we need a socket type. And that's going to be streaming for TCP. And we need a protocol type, which for us is going to be TCP. So we've created a socket, so that's kind of cool. Okay, so the natural thing to do here would be to try and connect the socket. And in Silverlight, that will be asynchronous, because everything with the network is asynchronous. And you pass that a structure called a socket async event args. You see this structure a lot, because it kind of appears in all the asynchronous APIs. You reuse the same structure for different purposes. So we create one of those. Let's say socket async event args, args equals new. And then, depending on what you're trying to do, you fill in a slot on this structure. So, for instance, the remote endpoint is what we're trying to connect to. So we can say, hopefully, a DNS endpoint, let's say for localhost, and we want port 4502. Now, something I find a little bit strange is we then put the handler onto the arg structure. So we say completed equals, and we add an event handler. So let's say onConnected. That's not a bad name for the moment, is it? So let's just go and use that. And so that's going to get fired when this thing connects, and then we can say this.socket.connectAsync and pass it that structure. So the thing I find a bit strange about that is that this handler is actually on the event args, it's not on the socket itself. So hopefully then we'll have a connected socket down here, and we can look at that and say, did that work okay? So I think there's a last status code in there somewhere, socket error equals success, then things work. So we would then have a connected socket. So let's not go too far. Let's go and see if that actually works for us. Let's put a breakpoint on here. Let's build. And probably what I need to make sure at the moment is if I just go to my properties for my solution, I need to make sure that it's running my WPF server. And I'd like it to run that first. And then my Silverlight application. And that'll do for the moment. So let's just see what happens if we run this up. So we run this up. And boom, we get our breakpoint. So let's check e.socketError. And we see access denied. Now this is exactly what I was expecting. And the reason for this is because a Silverlight client can't just make socket connections, even within that restricted port range of 4502 to 4534. We've talked in previous videos about HTTP and cross-domain policy. And for Silverlight, you always need another socket server to be serving up a cross-domain policy, whether you are going cross-domain or not. So it doesn't matter for sockets whether you're going cross-domain or not. You still need somebody to serve up a policy. And furthermore, that's even true in the beta for trusted applications running outside the browser. They still need a policy to be served up. Now, within the Silverlight SDK, there is actually a whole source code for a policy server which will do exactly this. And it has to sit and listen on port 943. That's what Silverlight does. It connects to port 943 and checks to see if the socket connection is allowed. So all I did was I have another application. It's just a console application. Within my solution here, it's absolutely stolen straight away from the Silverlight SDK. And it serves up this policy file here. And you'll notice that the policy file says, if you're coming from HTTP localhost 32768, which is where my app is being served from, then we will give you access to port 4502 on the TCP protocol. So what I should really do in my solution is go back over here and make sure that not only are we running the socket server, but we're also running the policy server. And let me just move that up the chain so it starts up first. So what we should notice now, if we run these three pieces of software up, there's my policy server. Let's allow it. I'm hoping we allowed that quickly enough. Yes, we did. You can see that we can now see success has come through from Silverlight's perspective, and it has a connected socket. If we go back to our policy server, you'll see the policy server spun up. It was listening on port 943, and it got a request for policy, and it sent its policy back to Silverlight, so Silverlight allowed that socket connection. So that's something that you have to have in place no matter what kind of application you're trying to write with sockets. Okay, so I suppose that's probably the fundamental key points actually through in terms of socket programming with Silverlight. But let's carry on doing what we're doing anyway. So I suppose what we should really say here is if we didn't get success, then probably the socket isn't connected. So let's just say socket equals null at that point. We perhaps don't really need to close it or anything because we didn't manage to connect. And then we'll try and implement the sending functionality. So let's say send point over here. What we want to do is when somebody gives us a point, I've already got a function that will turn that into a bunch of bits. So I can just say byte bits equals, and I wrote this little function point extension dot to buffer, and we just pass it a point, and it puts those two doubles into a byte array for me. So I've got those already. And then what I can do is send that across to the WPF application. So we can say if, I suppose we should have said this first really, if this dot socket is not null, so if we did manage to connect, and I suppose we should just change that to this dot socket just to be consistent. So if we did actually have a connected socket, then what we want to do is send something down it. So let's make a socket async event args. Let's create a new one of those. And what we want to do with that is we want to set the buffer. The buffer is going to be our bits. And then what we want to do is send that across the network. What did we do wrong at that point? Oh, sorry, yeah, you can't do it that way. What you need to do is say args.setBufferBits. Bits 0, bits.length. Okay, so we set the buffer that way. Sorry, my mistake. And then what we want to do is say this.socket. And we want to go ahead and send stuff. So we've got a send async on there, and we pass it those event args again. And I'm not going to actually handle the completed event in that case. I'll just let it go by. We should really handle it, but in this case, perhaps we should just set up a sort of dummy handler for it. No, let's leave it. Let's just leave it empty. So we should, ideally, there be sending our stuff across. So if we press F5, let's see how that works out for us. We're spinning up our policy server. We're spinning up the WPF application. We're spinning up the Silverlight application. And you can see that the Silverlight application is now sending its bits across to the WPF application. But we haven't done that in reverse. The WPF application is trying to send, but the Silverlight application isn't actually listening. And we just send that stuff over like that. So that's working fine. So let's implement the receiving side of things. Let's just go back over here. And so on the receiving side of things, I need a buffer to receive things into. So I'm just going to have a byte array here, which I'll call my buffer, something like that. And what I also need to keep track of is how many bytes I've read into that thing. So let's just say int bytes received, something like that. Okay. So what we're going to do is set up an asynchronous read on the socket after it has connected up here. So if this works, we want to set up an asynchronous read. So I'll just write a function that's begin read. Let's just say void begin read, because we'll need that in a couple of places. So what we'll do there, I need to make sure my buffer is populated. So let's just do that at construction time. I'll just say this.buffer equals new byte. Now I happen to know that my serialization uses 16 bytes. That's just kind of the communication size between the WPF app and this app. I just happen to know that. So a bit of hard coding of 16 bytes there, which is a bit naughty. But never mind, let's just go and begin our read. So what we want to do here is we want to say if this.socket is not equal to null, which it shouldn't be really, then we want to set up a new socket async event args. Let's say args equals new one of those. Let's say args.setBuffer. This is going to be buffer. Let's just get that. Buffer. I'm trying to find the right overload. There we go. And the offset. So the offset I want to read into depends on how many bytes we've already received. So I think that was bytes received. And how much I want to read is going to be buffer.length minus bytes already received. So that's what I want to do. So I'm trying to just fill that buffer up to 16 bytes in whatever comes in over the socket. And then I want to say receive async, and pass it those args. But I need to handle the completed event. So let's say args.completed plus equals on read completed, for instance. And then let's just go and shorten that down to a shorter lump of code. And so here we are in on read completed. And what we'll want to do here is begin another read at the end of all this, I would guess. And we need to check how much stuff we've effectively read. So what we can say is this dot bytes received plus equals e dot bytes transferred. Notice I am actually assuming success here, which is a bit, we shouldn't really perhaps do that, but we will assume success. So we increment our count of how much stuff we've received. If that now takes us up to 16 bytes, if this dot bytes received equals 16 bytes now, or maybe we should just use buffer.length just to make that a little bit more maintainable. So if we do that, then we've got a full transmission packet effectively from the WPF application, and after this we want to make sure that bytes received goes back to zero again so that we read the whole buffer next time around. Otherwise we want to leave bytes received so we read up to 16 bytes. So we've got our 16 bytes. What I could say is point P, let's say, equals, again I've got an extension, point extension dot from a buffer giving it this dot buffer, and actually give me a point, so I should then be able to fire my event. So I could say if, is it called point received is not equal to null, then we say point received this with a new point received event args, dear me, sorry, it's called a point event args, and onto that I just need to pass the point. So we're just firing an event, and then we're going to reset our idea of how many bytes we've read, and then we're going to read again. And if we hadn't filled the whole buffer, then we'll read again anyway to try and fill the whole buffer. It's worth saying that firing this event here, if we go across to the UI that's handling that in our main page, you'll notice it's calling moveCircle, and you'll notice that moveCircle is using dispatcher.beginInvoke to make sure that we're on the right thread in order to actually manipulate the UI. So if I didn't make a mess of that, we should be able to spin that back up. Let's see how well or badly that goes. Three bits of software should be up and running. And moving in WPF, you can see, is now moving in Silverlight. Moving in Silverlight is now moving in WPF. And we've got two-way socket communication going on between these two pieces of software. So some of that is just kind of raw socket programming, with the exception of that policy server. So the policy server is vital. And as we said, that's for in-browser apps, it's for out-of-browser apps, and it's currently, as I say, in beta 2, it's also for out-of-browser trusted applications. Okay, so hopefully you get a flavour of this, and that sort of walks around the interesting bits, perhaps, of sockets as they stand in Silverlight 4 and beta 2.